You're listening to a special report from NPR on Health. I'm your host, Joe Neal. During the month of July, NPR is going to be presenting a series of reports on the universal healthcare systems of five European nations. You'll be able to hear these reports on the radio and read them on the web, and also hear them here in a weekly podcast that I'm going to do as a special supplement to the regular podcast. The reports are designed to inform the U.S. debate over healthcare as the presidential elections start to heat up in the next few months. The universal healthcare systems of the European countries that we look at, Germany, France, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and Switzerland, all provide care to all of their residents, and each takes a different approach to doing that. There are some lessons to be learned from all this, and we hope that what you hear will help inform the discussion that's about to take place in our country. The first country we go to is Germany. We sent correspondent Richard Knox and producer Jane Greenhalgh and web editor Megan Collins-Sullivan to Germany. In our first report, Richard Knox talks to Morning Edition host Renee Montaigne about how German patients perceive their system.
Americans often think European healthcare means high taxes, long waiting lines, and rationed care. But in Germany, very little of the tax money goes into the health system, and it's one of the best systems in the world. NPR's Richard Knox visited Germany to find out if people there think they're getting good value for their money. And just start us off with what you found.
Well, Renee, when I first arrived there, I visited an old friend. Jürgen Inderschmitten was a medical student when I first met him 17 years ago, and now he's a general practitioner. And we were sitting around after dinner doing an interview. It was about 11 o'clock, and Jürgen got a call on his cell phone.
Guten Abend, Dr. Inderschmitten hier. Sie haben den ärztlichen Notdienst gerufen.
Jürgen was on call, and this was a woman who had a fever, and she wanted Jürgen to make a house call. They talked for maybe 5 minutes, and in the end, she agreed to come into the office the next morning. And I was sitting there thinking, this is just a conversation that would never happen in America.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, and not that you would just get through to the doctor, but at his house and at that late hour.
Exactly. And if you did, you certainly wouldn't have a long talk with him about whether he should come out to your house to treat the flu in the middle of the night. So I decided to visit some German patients to see what they think about the German system. The first family I went to see were the Casagrands, Sabina and Jan and their two little girls. They live in Cologne in western Germany, four flights up in a big old apartment with high ceilings.
Hi, Sabina Casagrand. Come in.
Hello.
Sabina's American, Jan is German. They say they've had really good care in the German health system, and they've used it a lot.
I've probably been very expensive for the health insurance system here. When I was 33 years old, I had a giant lump on my neck all of a sudden where your thyroid is, and it was a big tumor.
It took two operations to remove her cancer. Luckily, it was curable with surgery, and Sabina says she had the best treatment she could imagine.
Then I came home to my little daughter, who I couldn't really lift up even, and so I asked my doctor, what can I do? And she said, well, your health insurance will pay for someone to come help you in the house.
Her health insurance paid a friend to shop and cook and even help care for the baby until Sabina was back on her feet. The healthcare system that took such good care of Sabina isn't funded by government taxes. It's paid for by workers and employers. Germans pay about 8% of their salaries to a nonprofit insurance company of their choice, and their employers pay about the same amount. It's roughly the same percentage for everybody. The less people make, the less they have to pay. The more they make, the more they pay. Germans call it solidarity. The idea is that everybody's in it together and nobody should be without health insurance.
If I don't make a lot of money, I don't have to pay a lot of money for health insurance, but I have the same access to health care that someone who makes more money has.
She does say that nearly 8% of her salary is a lot.
Yes, it's expensive. You know, it's a good chunk of your monthly income, but considering what you can get for it, it's worth it.
For instance, it covers an expensive medicine that Jan needs for a chronic intestinal problem. He says if they move to America, they might not be able to buy insurance at all because of their pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, so for me, this is the Hauptgrund, dass wir nicht nach Amerika gehen, System.
He says for him, or for us, the healthcare system in the United States is the major reason why we have never moved there and never will move there. Because both of us have chronic illnesses. that have to have a lot of medical attention, and we would go broke.
Nummer eins Grund für Privatpleiten.
It's also the number one reason in the United States that people personally go bankrupt because of healthcare costs, which would never happen here. Never.
I met another couple who know both the American and German systems. They live on the other side of Germany in Berlin. They own a children's shoe store in a well-off area of the city. Nicole and Chris Ertl sell high-quality European shoes, tiny Italian sandals, French and Danish boots in wonderful colors. Chris is from San Diego. His wife, Nicole, is German. She also works part-time as a physical therapist, and so she gets her health care through her job. And like the Casa Grande, she's happy with her coverage.
It's a good deal. It's really good because it's a package.
She pays a premium of $270 a month for insurance that covers her children, too. Nicole pays a single $15 copayment once every 3 months to see her primary care doctor, and another $15 a quarter to see each specialist as often as she wants. The kids don't have any copayments at all, and insurance even covers her daughter's orthodontia bill.
They have good care because the kids is everything free. The drugs or something, it's always free.
Until they're how old?
I think 18.
But even though her insurance covers the kids, it doesn't cover her husband. Because Chris is self-employed, he has to buy insurance on his own from a for-profit insurance company. About 1 in 10 Germans buys this so-called private coverage. It's not just for people who are self-employed. Anybody who makes more than $72,000 a year can opt out of the main system. It's kind of a safety valve for people who want more and can pay for it. But most people don't opt out. Chris says that's because there's a fundamental difference in the way Germans view the government's role in health care.
The general opinion in Germany is always that the government will do it for us. And in the States, I think you grow up knowing that no one's going to help you do anything. If you want health care, go get it.
The German government doesn't provide health care or finance it directly. It regulates the insurance companies closely, the nonprofits in the main system and the for-profits where Chris gets his coverage. So Chris's insurer can't raise his rates if he gets sick or jack up his premiums too much as he gets older. And the government also requires insurers to keep costs down so things don't get too expensive.
Where am I better off medically? I would probably say Germany.
In some ways, Chris Ertl's coverage is better than his wife's. He gets his choice of top doctors, the chief of medicine if he wants. If he goes to the hospital, he gets a private room. When he goes to the doctor, he gets a free cup of coffee and goes to the head of the line. All this annoys Nicole.
So when he goes to the doctor, he has a lot more service.
Germans really hate any hint of unfairness in healthcare. The fundamental idea is that everybody must be covered and everybody should get equal treatment. And that's why it's unthinkable that 48 million people wouldn't have health insurance, the situation in America. As an American, Chris Ertl thinks that's shameful.
It's terrible. It's unbelievable. It shouldn't happen.
Germans, he says, would never tolerate that, and their system has been working for 125 years.
Now, I'm just hearing you, Dick, to say that this system has been around for, I think I heard you right, 125 years?
Yeah, remarkably, it has. And in fact, it even dates back further to the craft guilds of the Middle Ages. And when Germany became a nation in the 1880s, one of the first big things that the government did was to unite all of these, what they call sickness funds, into one system. So the Germans have lived with it for a long time, and that's one reason that this feeling of solidarity runs so deep.
And over that time, how have they made it better so that it seems to be working so well now?
Well, I think one of their secrets is they're always tinkering with it, partly to respond to feelings like Nicole's. When things begin to go off track, they have a fix, and they do a reform every 3 years or so. And they also have done that to keep costs pretty much under control. And costs are, like everywhere else, a big issue in Germany. There's a lot of pressure, and the population is aging even faster than ours. So, for instance, 13 years ago, they enacted a long-term care insurance system, which is something, you know, we've yet to do. People agree Germans are going to have to pay more for health care in the future, but the striking thing to a visiting American is that the system is really fundamentally sound.
NPR's Richard Knox, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Well, we just heard how virtually all Germans have ready access to doctors and cheap drugs and high-tech medicine and even dental care. So how come Germans are able to spend half as much as the U.S. on health care? Well, one way is that they put doctors on a budget. Richard Knox tells us now how that works, and he starts off in a doctor's office in a small town outside Düsseldorf.
This isn't your generic, bland doctor's office. It's all designer furniture and bright splashes of color.
Hello, guten Tag.
Dr. Christoph Leibel is a dark-haired guy with a runner's build. His first appointment this afternoon is with Hugo and Inga Follertsen. Inga's 80. She says she has a problem with her ears.
The ringing is pretty obnoxious, and they suffer a lot, and quite often drives the people nuts. Problem is, there's nothing you can do about it, really.
Leibel examines Inga, discusses whether acupuncture might help, writes a prescription for her high blood pressure. The Follertsens leave his office very satisfied. Like most Germans, the Follertsens are very happy with their medical care. They say they get everything they need, no complaints. Leibel says they didn't have to wait long when Hugo had to have a heart bypass and Inga needed a knee replaced.
The system is really good. As far as the medical treatment and stuff is concerned, in my opinion, it's very good.
But Leibel's at his wit's end with this great system.
I don't get paid at the moment. I haven't been paid for what I'm doing for the last 2 to 3 weeks.
That's because it's the end of the quarter. Leibel, like most German GPs, has already used up his budget. Every quarter, doctors all over Germany are allocated a certain pot of money. Once that's used up, that's it.
I feel abused. Exploited in a way. Yeah, because, I mean, the work we are doing is pretty demanding, and I have a lot of responsibilities, and I think that should reflect in what I get paid.
It's not that German doctors live in poverty. The average German primary care doctor makes around $123,000 a year before taxes. That's about one-third less than the American average. This is one way Germany keeps health costs down.
I think the biggest difference between the U.S. system and the German system is that everything is cheaper.
That's Karl Lauterbach, a doctor himself and a member of the Bundestag, the German parliament. When he says everything is cheaper here, he means hospital care, prescription drugs, MRI scans, heart bypass operations, and administrative costs are almost 50% lower. But the biggest reason German health costs are so much lower is that doctors here are paid less. Dr. Heinz-Harald Upholt says he earned a lot more 20 years ago.
I get a third of the money I earned in the middle of the 80s.
Upholt is an expert on general practice at the University of Düsseldorf. He understands why German doctors miss the good old days, but he says they still do okay.
German doctors are the best owning professional group in Germany.
More than lawyers, he says, more than architects or engineers. And not all doctors are unhappy with the system.
3 p.m.
Dr. Achim Mortzifer locks up his office in a residential neighborhood of Cologne. He's about to do something nearly unheard of in the United States, house calls. Almost all German general practitioners do them.
We visit two patients that I visit every 4 weeks and just have a look at them.
The patients he's visiting today depend on house calls. They're an elderly couple, Elspeth and Edwin Fedrovitz. They live in a small, crowded apartment on the fourth floor. Mortsiefer says Elspeth's got a never-ending list of problems. He's been seeing her for back pain, chronic anxiety, exhaustion from looking after her husband. Mortsiefer says Edwin needs a lot of care. Both his legs were amputated 9 years ago because of blood vessel disease.
They tried to save the leg, but the operation was not successful, so they had to amputate.
There's no elevator. Edwin hasn't been out of the apartment for 4 years. Mortsiefer's gone way beyond his role as a doctor to help them. He found Edwin and Elspeth a ground floor apartment that would have made life much easier. But they've lived in this apartment for 48 years, and they refuse to move.
Okay, good, fine.
Mortsiefer checks Edwin's legs. He writes prescriptions for high blood pressure and gives Elspeth some pain medication.
Ich sag auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Alles Gute, in 3 Wochen.
He's frustrated he can't do more for them.
Very difficult patients. They smoke. They still smoke. Both. And if I recommend some new treatment, they always say, no, we don't need that.
Mortsiefer worries more about his patients than about his own income.
If you want to earn money, you have to choose another profession.
How much more did you get for these home visits?
Nearly 20 euros or something like that. Not very much.
That's $31. A German plumber gets more. And because this is the end of the quarter, did you get anything for those?
I don't know. Difficult to say. No, maybe nothing.
But he doesn't dwell on that. Some doctors, he says, calculate how much is left in their quarterly budget every day.
The problem is, if you think about money a whole day, you will be unhappy. So that's an old rule of life, isn't it?
So we've heard two very different versions of how German doctors view their healthcare system, that it abuses doctors and that everything is okay. Who should we believe? To get a reality check, I pay a call on an old friend. I met Jürgen Inderschmitten 17 years ago when he was a medical student. Now he's a 42-year-old general practitioner in Meerbusch, a suburb of Düsseldorf.
That is Winnie the Pooh.
Jürgen's putting his 5-year-old son Kilian to bed.
Christopher Robin sagte, man könne nicht betreten heißen.
The Inderschmittens live in a modest 2-story row house. It cost around $400,000 2 years ago. Jürgen had to lay out another substantial sum to buy into a medical practice with two partners, so he has a lot of debt and no savings. He drives a second-hand 5-year-old Audi. He works long hours to bring in an income a little better than the average German GP. Over dinner, I asked him how things have changed for doctors since we first met.
The atmosphere, the feeling on the side of physicians and perhaps also patients, that things are getting worse. I think that's the most striking change, really.
He says something I've heard from other Germans, even people who aren't very sympathetic to doctors. Germans are worried about the future of health care. Already, Germany has a higher proportion of old people than America does.
The doctors argue, well, if a society is aging, if a society wants to have more expensive medicine, then it'll have to pay for it. And we are not the ones who will work more and more and more and don't see an income, increasing income for that.
He says Germany will have to spend more on health care in the coming years. But here's the thing, Germany can spend more, cover virtually everybody, and still not spend nearly as much as the United States. Richard Knox, NPR News.
Next, we look at the issue of the uninsured in Germany. In the U.S., about 16% of the population under the age of 65 is uninsured. In Germany, it's just 0.2% of the whole population. NPR's Megan Collins-Sullivan compares the situation in the two countries, and she starts out by going to a clinic here in the U.S.
If you're uninsured in Washington, D.C., you could try to get an appointment at La Clínica del Pueblo. There are four doctors. It's open 8:30 to 5, 5 days a week, and it stays open late on Wednesdays. But it's always fully booked.
At our busiest days, I'd say that we usually have 50 or 60 patients coming through. The waiting room is awfully packed.
The director of the clinic is Dr. Meredith Josephs. She says that only a quarter of the people who walk into the clinic without an appointment get seen.
We are still, unfortunately, turning folks away.
Dr. Josephs works 11-hour days and still goes home frustrated.
It's definitely emotionally difficult sometimes. You know, I sort of try and live life sort of focusing on the ones that I can help. And, you know, I'm kind of cold-hearted towards the others, because if I were to spend my time trying to figure out how to serve all the people who can't get in the door, I think I would just go crazy.
Dr. Josephs isn't alone. There are 10 free clinics like this in Washington, D.C., dedicated to caring for uninsured patients, and thousands more across the United States. The story is very different in Germany, where there are only 8 free clinics for the uninsured in the whole country.
Hello, guten Tag, mein Name ist Rika.
Dr. Herbert Brecker is beginning his day at the Malteser Clinic for the Uninsured in Cologne. This is a small, 3-room clinic, a tiny office, exam room, and waiting area attached to a private charity hospital. It's 9 a.m. Dr. Brecker looks out the window and checks the waiting room for patients.
No, it's empty.
There's nobody.
He sits at his desk, makes some calls, and gets some paperwork done. 15 minutes later, his first patient shows up.
Wie lange wissen Sie von dem hohen Blutdruck?
The patient is a middle-aged man suffering from vertigo. He's one of only 2 German citizens who come into the clinic this day. That's because almost all Germans have health insurance.
So, Herr Arendt, pass mal auf.
Dr. Brecker sends the man home with a referral to get additional tests. Now Dr. Brecker has some more downtime.
I take a quick look to see whether somebody arrived meanwhile. But I see it's empty. I look out the windows and I don't see anybody, so no, nobody's coming.
Dr. Brecker pours himself a cup of coffee. He explains why the man is uninsured. All Germans, he says, can get medical insurance through their employers. This man didn't qualify. He was self-employed. For a while, he bought insurance on his own. Then as he got older, it became too expensive. Dr. Brecker tells us that kind of problem won't last much longer. Germany has passed a law that will get people in that situation covered by health insurance. It will take effect next year. Brecker says people who have no insurance in Germany are usually living in the country illegally. That's who most of his patients are.
You can see where the people are from: Germany, Turkey, Romania, Germany, Morocco, Romania, German, Bosnia, Romania, Poland, Costa Rica, Nigeria. Business.
Late in the day, two people show up at once. A Romanian woman pleads for medicine for her husband, and a frantic American walks in. Dr. Brecker greets him at the door.
Hello, my name is Herbert Brecker.
Yes.
Dr. Brecker. And you're American?
Yes, I have a cardiac condition. I'm not insured.
The man's name is Michael Davis. He's nervous that Dr. Brecker will turn him away.
I had a double bypass.
Yeah.
Yeah?
In your age? How old are you?
35.
Davis says he suffered a massive heart attack in Germany last summer while on vacation. He spent a couple of weeks in the hospital. They told him he would have to have bypass surgery. He flew back to the U.S. and saw a cardiologist. The
cardiologist said right then and there, we must admit you. If we let you leave, liability-wise, we could be in serious trouble because we know that you're just a walking time bomb.
So he had the surgery right away, but he didn't have insurance. His employer didn't offer coverage for part-time workers like him.
I was never offered the opportunity to be able to get some type of health care, whether it was either I even pay into it or whether it was supplemental.
He says he's still dealing with more than $50,000 in bills from his heart attack in Germany and bypass surgery.
Medicaid is supposed to cover the hospitalization and the bypass from the United States, but Medicaid's saying that I made too much money, even though I didn't work from April until September, and I've gone through so much of an ordeal because of it.
Davis is now living in Germany, and he hopes to get a job and get married to his German partner soon. Then he'll have health care coverage, but those bills won't go away.
The Blutdruck is good.
Dr. Brecker examines Davis, then sends him for additional tests.
Look, what I try to do, I refer to the service of this hospital. Mm-hmm. They give an appointment for an echocardiogram and a stress EKG, which I think is very important to see how much your left ventricle is damaged.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great, thank you so much.
Okay.
Davis's shoulders drop, and he leans against the counter. You can see him relax.
I wasn't expecting to be treated like this, let alone to get such immediate care as quickly as this occurred. I'm actually shocked right now.
At 2 p.m., Dr. Brecker closes up shop for the day.
Oh, that's about time now. We close.
So by the end of the day, Dr. Brecker's seen 8 patients, given them treatment, medicine, and referrals to the specialists they need. It's a situation Dr. Meredith Josephs at La Clinica del Pueblo in Washington can hardly imagine.
Wow, that's that's amazing. Yeah, I wish I could say it were the same here.
Megan Collins Sullivan, NPR News.
Finally, we're going to explore the plight of the uninsured in the U.S. a little bit more with NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner. She spoke with Madeline Brand, host of the NPR program Day Today.
Both presidential candidates here in the U.S. say they want to fix the problem of the uninsured. Barack Obama and John McCain have very different ideas, though. Let's start with Democrat Barack Obama. This was a big topic during the primary. He and Hillary Clinton debated quite furiously back and forth about their various health care proposals. Remind us what Obama's is.
Well, the one thing I think most people remember from the primaries is that Senator Obama's plan has no mandate that people purchase health insurance. But what I think they don't remember about it is that he would actually require all children to have coverage. He would make it more difficult for insurance companies to discriminate against people who are already sick. There would be a new Medicare-like government program that people could buy into if they don't want to have insurance through regular private insurers. And I guess most important, there would be very generous subsidies for people who couldn't otherwise purchase insurance. So altogether, the Obama camp estimates that they would cover most, if not all, of the uninsured, probably leaving out maybe 5 to 10 to perhaps some analysts say 15 million of the 47 million uninsured. So almost everybody would be covered.
But this is not a government plan. This is still an employer-sponsored plan, right?
Well, no, it would be a combination plan. There would be, if you had employer-provided coverage and you liked it, you'd be able to keep it. If you wanted to buy into this new government plan, you could. And no matter which you did, there would be government-provided subsidies if you otherwise couldn't afford it.
Turning to Republican John McCain, what is his plan?
Well, his plan is more about costs than coverage, although he does espouse the hope that everyone would be able to afford and perhaps purchase health insurance coverage. The centerpiece of Senator McCain's plan is to change the tax system. Right now, if you get insurance from your employer, you don't pay taxes on the value of that insurance. That's a pretty big tax break. If you're self-employed and you buy your own insurance, you get to deduct that from your taxes. But if you work for an employer who doesn't provide insurance and you buy your own insurance, you get nothing in the way of taxes. And everybody agrees that's unfair. So Senator McCain would change that. He would give everybody a tax credit. That would be more fair, but it would perhaps encourage employers to stop offering health insurance because now their workers would have tax credits that they could go out and buy their own. So there's a little bit of worry among some that might really change the way the healthcare system works.
Julie, how many more people would McCain's plan cover, or does it promise to cover?
Well, it doesn't really have a number that it promises to cover. Senator McCain says that this is really a long-term goal to get more people covered, and he seems to be more concerned with bringing costs down first before covering more people.
NPR Health Policy Correspondent Julie Rovner. Thank you, Julie.
You're welcome.
That's it for this special edition of NPR on Health. If you want to learn more about the health systems of the European countries and see how they compare with the U.S., there's an interactive chart at our website, npr.org/health. You can also hear the rest of the series over the month of July by tuning into your local NPR station. Thanks for listening. I'm Joe Neal, NPR News.